It's hump day here on the Pure Michigan Golf Tour. Great to have you with us as we keep you, as always, the best informed audience in all of radio. And not only do we promote the state of Michigan and the golf industry on this show, but as you know, we keep you up to date on everything going on around the world. And this morning, that'll include one of the presidential candidates who's coming to Livingston County. Ted Cruz will be on the air with us a little later on this morning, a timely visit given what's going on with the Freedom Act in Washington. So he'll be joining us. We kick things off, though, with a local politician of some renown. He's been a frequent visitor on our show, as you know, and he's the mayor of Lansing, Virge Bernero. We've been enjoying a great chat off the air, and we'll try to bring you a flavor of that on the air, minus some of the language, of course. Because, well, we are in delay. Great to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you, Frank.
And good to be back in Lansing once again.
Always a pleasure to have you in Lansing.
Well, it's great to be here. And, you know, this area has begun to focus more and more as time has gone on the tourism industry, the draw of tourism, bringing people in here, and making this a destination for folks to come. It's been interesting to witness that.
That's exactly right. Our Convention and Visitors Bureau is doing a great job, along with the other groups. They're leading the way. And, yeah, we're Michigan's capital city. You know, when I talk about downtown Lansing, I talk about Michigan's downtown. We want to show people a good time. I know people come to work. You know, one of our themes is Lansing, where Michigan works, and we kind of a pun there. Double meaning, but where Michigan works.
Clever,
you know,
clever.
I mean, sometimes it works in Lansing. It's funny, I mean, because people talk about Lansing oftentimes, and sometimes when they say Lansing, they say it derisively, or they're talking about, you know, just the capital.
Exactly.
Or the legend. But it's a place. It's a destination, and it is a great place, and we want to build on that, and we are. And
so when people say to you, what's to do in Lansing? What do I do if I, let's say I want to spend a weekend up there. What would I do?
Well, for one thing, of course, golf. I mean, I'm speaking to one of the most avid golfers I know. So lots of great golf, including here at Forest Acres, right?
Yeah, you've been at this, Hawk Hollow, Eagle Eye.
Yeah. You know. I mean, lots of great options. And, of course, you got MSU Sports, obviously. I mean, Big Ten, always something going on. You've got the Wharton. I mean, you've got Broadway here. You've got the Lugnuts in downtown Lansing. You've got Potter Park Zoo. I mean, there's a lot of hidden gems. Impression 5 Museum, Ari Olds, if you're a car buff. There's a lot, and of course, the state capitol is a beautiful building in itself, I mean, in terms of architecture. So there's a lot of things going on. I'm sure I've missed a bunch. The CVB people are saying, but I'll get lectured later. But a lot of great things happening in Lansing, and a lot of investment happening right now. You know, General Motors just announced another $175 million investment downtown. The Camaro is coming here. Mm-hmm. Some people mistakenly call me Mayor Camaro as opposed to Mayor Bernero, and I don't mind that. We're very excited to have the Camaro.
You could be called a lot worse. You could be called Mayor Pinto or something. You
know? Mayor Hugo. Yeah, right, exactly. A lot of great things. So the investment is taking place. You know, the insurance industry is growing. Our GDP is up. Unemployment is down.
See, right to work works, doesn't it?
No comment.
You've got to admit it.
Well, we're really talking way above, of course, you know, way above minimum wage. So I won't get into the minimum wage, the living wage arguments and the right to work. I mean, I guess most people haven't left the union. What I hear, Frank, is most people who belong to a union, all the major unions report that nobody's left with. There hasn't been any great exodus.
So why were they so opposed to it then if it's no big deal?
I guess the principle, mostly the principle, and what it means for the future. But the principle that if you're getting benefits of the union, you should pay.
There's two sides to that. I saw it as a great opportunity for the unions to make a case for why membership is so valuable to people.
And I think they're doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, apparently that
if the numbers are up or holding
but
steady,
I don't attribute,
right.
Of course, I don't, you know, I mean, in terms of the economic development here, we're very fortunate, as we talked about, Frank. We're buffeted here. I mean, even the economic recession didn't hit us as bad as other cities because we've got Michigan State University, which is a wellspring, and they continue to make investments. The FRIB is growing there, the facility for rare isotope beams. We've got a bunch of great companies.
I still don't know what that does. Can you give me a thumbnail of exactly what that thing does?
I wish I could.
It's a
superconductor. It's an accelerator, but it's also now there's a big market. There's been spinoffs in terms of these isotope beams, in terms of medical treatment. It beats the hell out of me. I can't tell you that in a sentence. But it's key to scientific research, and it's bringing in top scientists from around the world. I that's another thing I'll get beaten up for. Now I'm going to get a call from Lana Simon explaining to me what the FRIB does, the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. But the federal government's investing millions and millions of dollars into that as well. It's on the cutting edge of scientific research, as Michigan State is on a number of things. So to have a great research university like Michigan State is great, and then the insurance industry and the auto industry going strong. I mean, General Motors continues to double down on their investment here. We know that other cities haven't been as fortunate necessarily, but we're very fortunate to have the latest, greatest plants from General Motors. So people are working here. People have money in their pockets, and that means great things are happening. You know, there's expansion downtown. Apartments are being built. The lug nuts are going strong. We're putting apartments in the outfield. There's an outfield project. So
really,
there's three or four stories going up in the outfield of the stadium downtown. Very exciting. And it's really about capturing young people. I mean, people our age, Frank, are looking for condos downtown, and I think that's coming. But young people are looking for cool places to live, authentic urban living, like you see in downtown Detroit, that they're repeopling downtown Detroit that way.
Your difference is, though, that it extends out into the neighborhoods here, too, that development, right?
Yes. Yep.
That's still where Detroit has to go. They've got to get rid of the blighted neighborhoods.
Absolutely. Right. And we don't have as big. I mean, it's a question of scale. I mean, we do have challenges in our neighborhoods because mm-hmm. we have aging housing stock. I mean, mm-hmm. many cities have aging housing stock. But if you don't retain your young people to begin with, I mean, we've got 50,000 students at Michigan State University. So if those kids, when they get out or when they're here, you know, when they get out, they're fleeing immediately if they don't have a cool place to stay. I mean, they want the cool factor. It matters. And so we're now really focusing on retaining those young people. And that includes a global perspective because they're from all over the world.
Stay where you are. I got a couple of more issues I want to cover with you. Virge Bernero, the mayor of Lansing, the outspoken mayor of Lansing with us here on the Frank Beckman Show. Right now, though, let's check traffic with Dana Clark. It is the Pure Michigan Golf Tour this week here on the Frank Beckman Show, making a stop at Forest Acres West Golf Course on the campus of Michigan State University, and kicking off the show this morning with Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero, who had a unique idea earlier this morning. Every politician at every level is looking for ways to raise revenue, whether you're in Washington, whether you're in Lansing, as Governor Rick Snyder tried to get money for road repairs recently, but especially on the local level. And you had a unique idea that we talked about off the air that I'd like to get into a little bit and examine, and that is you'd like to see nonprofits taxed. Wait till Luana Simon, you think she's mad at you for not knowing exactly what the FRIP is. Wait till she hears that you want to tax Michigan State University.
Oh, absolutely I do. And no offense to MSU in particular. It's not just universities, Frank, but, you know, frankly, churches, nonprofits, all these so-called nonprofits. I mean, some of them are truly nonprofits, like churches and charitable organizations. But other outfits, I mean, you could just call yourself a nonprofit if you don't make a profit, quote unquote. You know, you don't do that P&L statement, I guess. But a lot of times these CEOs of nonprofits make a bunch of money. And like the people at the top, the management makes a ton of money. And yet they're a nonprofit, and so their outfit doesn't pay taxes. When people don't pay taxes, Frank, services aren't paid for. It's called taking the services without paying. You want services. Like, I wouldn't mind if the churches, the universities, the nonprofits, if they just don't call us. You know, don't call us. We won't call you.
So don't call 911.
Don't call 911. Exactly. If you don't want the emergency services, great. We've got a deal. Okay. But the reality is these people call 911. They need planning services. They need road services. They need fire. They need police. They want to know that we're there when they call. And when they call, we are there. But they don't pay. And the reality is these services have to be paid for. And so you know who pays, Frank? You pay. You pay, and the residents pay, the neighborhoods pay. But if you go to an average capital city downtown, what you see is government buildings, nonprofit, nonprofit, nonprofit. They don't pay taxes. Zero. Zero. I mean, I can understand giving them a break because they do a charitable, they do good work. Okay, 50%. I mean, even the Bible, I think, says render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. They don't render. They don't render. It's time to render. I mean, the reality is they want services. The services have to be paid for. Now, I know you're a good conservative, Frank, and I'm a fiscal conservative because otherwise I wouldn't be mayor for 10 years. You don't run a city in the black without being a fiscal conservative. So things have to be paid for. People want services. They have to be paid for. So, you know, give them a break. That's fine. 50%. But I know
50% is a pretty high tax rate.
It's also a pretty good tax break. Most people would say, man, if you cut my taxes 50%, wow, holy crap. Can I say crap? I know I can't say the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap, a 50% tax cut, that's pretty big. So, I mean, but I've mentioned this to a couple of
universities. You're talking about taxing 50% of the money that goes to the charity?
No. 50% of like a normal property tax.
Oh, I got you.
They pay no property.
I got you. I misunderstood when you said 50%.
Oh, no. Just saying give them 50% from what the average person pays in terms of their property tax.
Okay.
They pay no property tax. I'm not sure if people realize this at home. They pay no property tax. If you call yourself a nonprofit.
I've got to tell you, I did not know that.
And property taxes are how we pay for government services. That's how local government gets paid for. And if these nonprofits don't pay, the rest of the people have to pay more. I mean, the reality is fire engines, a big super fire engine, the big tallest ladder truck, it's like $1 million now. And people want those ladder trucks. You know, over at Michigan State University, right here, not far from here, they've got some big dorms. You better hope that we've got those ladder trucks ready. I mean, God forbid, should there be a fire. I think people want to know. And I've suggested to the university presidents, I've suggested, well, how about a public safety fee? You know, you guys love tuition increases. How about a public safety fee of like 50 or 100 bucks a semester? We can figure out how much it is. And some of these places will say, well, we have our own police. We don't need you because we have our own police. So we don't need, well, in fact, you need us for active shooter. You know, we have to work collaboratively. We have to have plans in place because mutual aid and so on. And, of course, none of them have their own fire department. And then there's planning and so on and some roads. But so the reality is they all use government services. But I said, put a public safety fee on there. You put a fee for everything else. A lot of these places, they'll build a fancy new exercise facility, and they'll sometimes put on a fee for that. And people don't question it. People don't balk. Oh, yeah, our kids need a fancy exercise place. As a father of two kids that went to college, I remember paying those bills to Central Michigan and to U of M. But I know I'm here not far from MSU. I'm worried. But no, go green. Go green. But I wouldn't have minded, I wouldn't have objected a bit as a parent to see a $50 fee or $100 per public safety, knowing that my kid isn't going to be burned up in a fire or is going to have police service, is going to be safe. I don't mind paying that. I know where the money is going. But for some reason, these universities, they object. You should see the looks on their faces when you just bring it up. Oh, no, we'd have to raise tuition. You people raise tuition constantly anyway. I mean, suddenly, you're afraid of a tuition increase? And this one would be earmarked, an earmark. People love earmarks. And they say that's why this latest proposal for the roads failed, because it was too complicated. I'm talking about something that wouldn't be complicated a bit. You just say public safety fee, this amount. It goes to the main agency, you know, at MSU. It would mainly go to East Lansing Police and then Fire. East Lansing
have
Fire.
Have you ever done broken down the cost analysis or benefit for the city, what you would get if you were to be successful in going ahead with your idea?
Well, we have Lansing Community College. Of course, they would pay something. No, the answer is no. I'm working on that. But by the way, can I give the answer to the FRIB? Because if I don't answer this, I'm going to be in big trouble.
Oh, you just got texted
the
by
FRIB,
somebody.
It's a $500 million project to build the largest particle accelerator in the world.
So what's a particle accelerator?
To advance physics research and spin off commercial technologies as like NIAWAVE is doing. It will drive economic growth and attract top talent from around the world for decades to come. It's making Lansing, Michigan the accelerator capital of the world.
What did you just say? I have no idea what you just described. I still don't know what a FRIB does. And I think it must be a great thing because people say wonderful things about
it. Well, we better get Luana on the phone, and then we can ask the president of MSU about the FRIB and about paying 50% property taxes. I'm sure she'll have no problem.
It's always great to see you.
Always a
thanks
pleasure,
for the
Frank.
Hospitality.
Take care, stay healthy.
Lansing.
Great to see you,
too. Virge Bernero, the mayor of Lansing. Steve Courtney in the wings coming up momentarily.